glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. Well, if you were tuned in yesterday, you're back for more, as Dr. David Webb will continue his teaching on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In fact, those are the verses I opened up with yesterday, I opened up with today, and next Monday and Tuesday I'll open up with these verses. As yesterday when I had Dr. David Webb in the studio and I closed out the program, he continued dividing these verses, giving lots of illustrations, sharing a passionate plea, an exhortation, a determination that we should all make as we read these verses and take hold of the imperatives if we truly want to be faithful followers of Jesus, his disciples. Yesterday during the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, Dr. David Webb answered the question, what brought him to focus on this part of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, and gave us a brief overview of the book of Hebrews and why this part of God's Word is relevant for us today. He also made some suggestions on why listeners, why you, should be prepared for this teaching and what expectations you should have, and Lord willing, what healthy conviction God will give you as you tuned in yesterday, will tune in today, and will again tune in next Monday and Tuesday. Now, today's broadcast, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, Dr. David Webb will be focusing on the four imperatives, covering divest, getting rid of those things that weigh us down, and begin talking about running the race. And then next Monday and Tuesday, he'll emphasize the imperatives of focusing on Jesus and considering him who endured the cross and modeled for us the importance of being faithful, consistent followers of Jesus. Now, if you'll miss a portion of today's broadcast or you couldn't tune in yesterday, all four parts of this discussion on Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3 can be accessed at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends tab. Yesterday, I gave a rather extensive introduction to Dr. David Webb and his many accomplishments. So today I'll just say he's a faithful follower of Jesus. He loves dividing and teaching God's word. He's a family practice physician for Carl, serving in Mahomet, Illinois, and loves to disciple men and sees his practice as an extension of ways that he can serve mankind, as he loves to bring healing and hope to our hearts in Jesus' name. I'll repeat a little of yesterday's program, the closing part, where Dr. David Webb opened up in prayer and shares some of the takeaways he hopes we garner as we tune in for his teaching. Here's Dr. David Webb.
Earlier in Hebrews, in chapter 4, he said this about the Word of God. This is chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listeners, if you embrace these scriptures, these verses, you will be convicted. But you will be convicted in a way that's going to glorify God and bring you the fullness of life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So be prepared as you encounter these for that situation. Mark, at this point, before we launch into the Spirit-led look at these verses, let's just have a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, you penned these words through your Holy Spirit, and you knew that in 2023, outside of Muhammad, Illinois, that we would be looking at these words and talking about them. You also knew who would be listening, Father. You knew who would need to hear these, who desired to hear these, who are in a situation that they have to hear these to make the proper choices and decisions to bring about the fruit of their labors. So, Lord, I lift these verses up to you, and I ask that you bring them to fruition in the hearts and minds of the listeners, and above all, that you bring glory and honor to your holy name. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I appreciate, Mark, again, the opportunity to speak about these verses. You read beautifully from the NIV, and that's going to be my source in the particular words I'm going to use. There are other versions that sort of look at these with little different versions, different words, but as that seems appropriate, I'll bring them into the teaching. If you're a person who likes sort of an overview statement, what are these three verses about? Then I would suggest they are about this. In these verses, God gives us four imperatives for powerful discipleship. Four imperatives, what is absolutely necessary to run the race of discipleship and bring him the glory and honor that he deserves and to serve him in the kingdom. Four imperatives. Now, the first imperative is what I'm going to call divest. We have to get rid of weights that slow us down in our race. The second imperative is that we are to run a race that God himself has marked out for us, and we're going to run it with endurance. The third imperative is we are to focus on the person of Jesus and also on his attitude of joy. And then the fourth and final imperative, if we are to consider Jesus as he interacts and deals with that and those people who oppose the gospel. All four of these imperatives, I believe, are appropriate for us today. I did a little fun game, and I put the first letter of each of these imperatives, like D-R-F-C. And I think what that stands for is that do, reach, or run for Christ. Do reach for Christ. Now let's launch right into the first imperative. This is found in the first half of verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, Mark, you were right when you said, whenever a person sees in Scripture the word therefore, you have to think about what is it there for? And in this situation, it is there to remind us of what the author has written in chapter 11, the faith of the men and women that have gone before. Now, let me set the stage for this teaching a little further. I want you to think of yourself as a runner. In a stadium, think of yourself on the track of Memorial Stadium, and you're going to run a race. Now, this race is unique because you're not running against other people. You're running a race all by yourself. This is going to be your race. You're going to run it the best possible way you can do it. But before I focus on you, the runner, look around. Look around at the people that are all around you in those seats around you in Memorial Stadium. These are the great cloud of witnesses. Now, as I said, therefore goes back to chapter 11, where we had probably specifically and non-specifically at least 35 individuals that have been named as witnesses. Now, these witnesses are there for a purpose. They are there to help you, to encourage you, the runner, to support you, the runner, to motivate you in your race, to cheer you on, to lift you up, to admonish you, maybe train or instruct. They're there to pray for you. They're there to witness to you from their life, to assure you that you can win this race. You can run it with all power and authority. They understand the difficulties of the race. They've been there. They've run that race. They're there to challenge you, convict you, and hold you to a high expectation. Now, what is in common about these cloud of witnesses is their faith. Now, I can take a long time to talk about faith, but let me just summarize it. The faith that is in these witnesses is the ability that they showed to hear God, His will, or His promise, to hear Him and then obey Him with full trust. Mm. Obey Him to the point that they do what God asks them to do with the absolute certainty that God will complete and bring to fruition what He has promised. Mm. They have spiritual eyes that can see what we can't see with our normal human eyes. These men and women of faith have been following God in obedience and trust. Mm. And they're there to stir us on, to admonish us, and ask us to run the race that God has given us. Now, it's not just, Mark, those people in chapter 11. They are there for sure. But there's others, too. There's others that may be people that are known or unknown to you. People from the past or even people from the present. I was thinking of a couple men, for example, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mm. He is a man who did what he was called to do by God in faith. And he's sitting in there in that crowd witnessing, saying, Mark or listener, you can run that race. I did it, and I did it, and you can do it too. You and I both know a guy by the name of Ron Sauer. Mm-hmm. He was a Moody professor of Old Testament. He was a witness to me. He said, I've run this race. I'm running this race. You can run it too. I remember Jim Conway, who was a pastor at Twin City Bible Church for many years, who, when my oldest daughter was a teenager, he looked her straight in the eyes one day and said, what does God want to do in your life? And he spent the next 20 minutes encouraging her, lifting that bar high, and said, I want to witness that you can be the woman of God that you can be. Mm. So we're surrounded by these witnesses.
And what's so encouraging, too, is not only are we surrounded by these witnesses, we can be those witnesses to others, influence and encourage and bless. And I wrote down a number, stir them on and admonish them in a healthy way, in a positive way.
You're reading my mind, because I was just about to say we should be both the runner and the witness. For instance, the Shalia group. Hmm. You know, there's a small group of guys in your group. There was 11. And this group we're doing now, there's 10. But these Shalia guys are in the stands rooting each other on. And I ask you, listener, who do you have in your life now that is your witness, that is rooting you on, admonishing you in a proper way, holding you up, saying, you can do it, I understand. Who is in your life that is a witness?
You know, David, you've taught on this, and I just wrote it down. There's times we're to be the Paul, the Barnabas, or the Timothy. We should have a Paul, somebody training us, teaching us. The Barnabas, we're encouraging somebody, they're encouraging us. Or the Timothy, you know, we're discipling somebody or we're being discipled. Like, all three of those are part of this, kind of the imperative that you're going to continue to speak about here in this Hebrews chapter 12.
Yeah, it's a very fluid thing, and we should be both the runner and the witness at all times. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about this walk. You see, we're not individuals. We're in this together. We're unified. Now, let's switch the focus a minute from the audience, the witness, to the runner. And let me go back to the Greco-Roman times, when a runner, an athlete, would take off all clothing in order to run. They had to take off anything that was going to impede them, weigh them down, because they wanted to run as fast and as powerfully as they could. And so many times the runners would run either completely naked or with very little clothing on. They would even shave their heads sometimes in order to run the best race they could possibly do. So picture yourself now out on that racetrack, beginning your race or on your race with these witnesses around, and we are asked to get rid of all weights. And it says, throw off everything that hinders and also the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I got to dissect this a little bit. In general, if we think about sin in general, we're thinking about any thought, any attitude, any word, any deed that does not allow God to be the Lord of your life. Anything that violates Matthew 22:37-40 that says, the Lord your God, you should love him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Anything that distracts from that is considered sin. But in this particular setting, we're talking about a specific qualitative type of sin. We're talking about what the NIV says, the sin that so easily entangles. Now, if we look at other scriptures, for instance, if we look at the New King James Version, we see the sin that so easily ensnares. If we look at the New Revised Standard Version, we see the sin that clings so closely. Or the New Living Translation, the sin that so easily trips us up. But the scripture, the translation I love the best, Mark, is the King James Version that says, the sin that besets us. The sin that besets. Now, if you look up the word beset, you have this idea of assault or attack or being mauled by. And so what I think the writer is saying here, and what I want the listeners to understand, is that we need to throw off a certain type of sin. This is the besetting sin. Now, what do I mean by that? Or what does the Greek mean by that? Well, besetting sin is a unique sin for you. You have this sin. Somebody else may not have it. It is individualized. It is particularly appealing to you, and it has a hold on you that's stronger than maybe the hold it might have on somebody else. It's the sin that you're prone to or you're attracted to, the sin that you go to when you're broken down and you're feeling weak and that life is getting you down, you may go to this sin. It's to pacify maybe some of your human needs. It's a sin that you return to over and over again. It's a sin that entraps you. It's like the Venus fly trap. I call it the quicksand sin. It's a sin that you are prone to and can really pull you down. Now, maybe the best thing to do at this point is maybe give you a few examples of what I mean by besetting sin. For instance, sensuality. There are some people who are so prone to the abnormal and inappropriate use of sexual things that they are prone to this besetting sin. It entraps them sometimes. Pornography, for instance, is a huge problem that entraps and ensnares and hinders and weighs down a person who tries to be a disciple. Another thing would be substance use of various sorts, and it could be anything from eating to drugs, anything that weighs them down so that it compromises their ability to serve the Lord. That's besetting sin. Pride and ego and self is another besetting sin that some of us are prone to. It weighs us down so we cannot hear God and we cannot follow God. Another example might be a person who tends to always react in a dishonest fashion. They are prone to not saying the truth. Or somebody who's prone to jealousy and gossip or slander. Or another one, temper, anger, or rage. I had a man tell me the other day that his besetting sin is laziness. He can't be the disciple of Christ because he is weighed down by his laziness. Wealth and materialism, hate, criticalness, power, or world popularity. These are examples of besetting sin.
And they get their stronghold on us because we're not filling ourselves with God? Or how do we minimize that? Or what shift do we have to have in our thinking so that we fill ourselves with God? That's really the only thing that'll fill that vacuum.
Yes, that is the critical point. You see that if we don't address these besetting sins, and I'm going to talk about how to address them in just a minute. If we don't, what happens is we are filled with a guilt. We feel accused. We're in emotional turmoil. There's relational isolation. Our minds are polluted. Our attention's diverted. Our bodies get weak. It saps our time. In other words, it really hinders us. It really pulls us down, weighs us down. Now, how do we approach this? How do we deal with any besetting sin? Well, the very first thing we have to do is be honest with ourselves. We got to say, what is it, Lord, due to my background, my personality, my experiences, my vulnerability, my ego, whatever, what is it, Lord, that has led me to go to this quicksand sin, this besetting sin that weighs me down? Be honest with ourselves. We must confront this. We may get ownership of it. Invite other people to speak into us. What is it that they see that is weighing us down from our discipleship? And that takes courage. That takes vulnerability. That takes the ability to sacrifice. That takes humility. But it also takes confidence that God wants to hear this. God wants to heal us. God wants to give us strength to not be weighed down by this. We have to be intentional about it. And how we do this then is once we confess it, once we understand it, once we take ownership for it, we take it to the Lord. We see what the Word of God says about it. We allowed the body to do its work within us, to share it with others, friends, to allow those witnesses around us to help us move through this, to identify it, to get strength over it. We pray, we pray, we pray. We allow that Holy Spirit opportunity to take that and to deal with it. We need to journal. We need to really do everything that it takes in order to get that besetting sin, that sin that we individually, uniquely as an individual, are prone to do, because that will weigh us down.
Well, listening friends, just like yesterday, I'm jumping in and closing out this broadcast as we'll continue with our discussion on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 on next week's Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Dr. David Webb has so much more to say and share, so I hope you can join us. If you missed a portion of yesterday, today, or can't make it on Monday or Tuesday of next week, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen to the program under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.